This podcast is sponsored by Hercules Strong Guard Tires. Visit HerculesTiresCommercial.com to learn more.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. As we begin a Thursday, it's kind of our Friday. Gary, how are you?
I'm doing really good, and you know, sometimes on the show we need to define, you know, what the responsibilities are of both of us, and then come to a determination who has contributed to the show more. Now, today, just so people know, I was the producer, the assistant producer in the pre-show meeting, the executive producer in the meeting. I copied all. I used the copy machine extensively.
You mean the printer, or did you use the copier?
I actually used the printer.
Skills had increased.
I have written a significant portion part of the show. I think my contribution has been incredible. Eric fixed the coffee machine.
Yeah. Right.
So we're trying to figure out who has contributed more to the show today.
I'm also the one the audience likes. So there's that.
That's because of your humbleness.
That's because I can fix coffee machines.
That's true.
You got to know what your strengths are, man, and you got to know how to work them. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't check it.
I'm a hero.
There's
a parade going on in the parking lot right now for me.
I had a super coffee on the on the way in, so I didn't.
I'll take the soup.
So I didn't even look when Alan told me the coffee machine was broken. He said, yeah. I just can't fix it.
I actually
texted you and said, the coffee machine isn't working.
All right. 25 years doing this one gig, and, you know, it's always been in the middle of the night. And also working on the WBAP morning show for the better part of a decade. There's one thing that you've got to know. And here's the thing. I don't drink coffee every night. In fact, there are only certain nights that I drink coffee. Like when I'm at home, I don't drink any coffee at all. I don't drink coffee on the weekend. I don't drink. I'll have some caffeine, but I'm better if I don't, because I don't like the caffeine crash. But you've got to keep in case you need the coffee, you've got to keep the coffee flowing. That's the rule. Number one rule. Or the first shift. We are not third shift. We're
yes.
the first.
Yes.
The day just started in the central time zone. Started an hour ago, over an hour ago in the eastern time zone. This is the first shift. It's Thursday. Wake up, people.
Well, it's a part of our tradition. It's a part of our radio culture. As Dr. Johnny Fever said from the TV show WKRP in Cincinnati, coffee is a right.
It is a right. So I don't know what happens with the daytimers in this building, and there aren't many of them here. We haven't come back fully. But the whole thing was just jammed. It's not that hard of a machine to fix. The biggest part of it is trying to get these little packets. It's not, you know, we don't have the K-cup machine. It's a packet machine, and the packets get jammed. But I don't know what the people during the day are doing. I have no idea what they're trying to do. They need to slow down. Take a breather. These are the kind of people that, as Brian Regan would say, that will microwave a Pop-Tart. If you don't have time in your life to the extent that you need to microwave a Pop-Tart, you need to slow down. This is Brian Regan's bit from years ago. Just slow down. That's what's going on here during the day. Very busy and important people.
I've never done that before.
No, I haven't either. Yeah.
We got a great show ahead. The FDA approves a Pfizer booster. What's next there? New Gallup poll. How bad is the president's polling? You want to know how bad it is? It's worse now than the vice president's.
Yeah.
That is how bad Biden is. He reached the depth of the vice president.
Yeah. Wow. Remember, he started this during the campaign season. and I think maybe a time or two during the transition period, he said the Harris-Biden administration. He said it that way. The Harris-Biden administration. I think he knew.
Yes, he did a few times. Majority of college students polled are for shouting speakers down. This is what our higher education institutions have done. We'll get to that polling Children. Out there. We'll tell you about the PA, the Pennsylvania University. I saw PA, so the Pennsylvania University to mandate pronoun usage. Man, I wish I was going to that college because I would break that every single day just to win the lawsuit on that.
Yep.
And the damages that come
yep.
from a defamation of character. Mm-hmm. Oh, I wish, I'm telling you, part of me wishes that I was back in college today. Not to be young again, just to be able to have
I don't want to
a
be
lot
young
more
again.
Fun than I had.
No, I don't want to be young again. No.
No.
I did that.
No.
Yeah, no, I'm past that. I'm at the point where I'm enjoying being old. You know, because you go through that, you go through your life, and really it has to do with your smell. Right? The smell, well, your sense of smell, not your smell, but in part your smell, but the sense of smell, because when you're young, it's like, ooh, what's that smell? Then as you're, you know, you get kids and you're around children and the whole thing, it's like, well, I know what the smell is, still don't like it. And then you get to a point where I can smell it, I just don't care. I'm at that point. I'm not at the point where I feel like I need to go out of my way to make other people happy. And actually, I don't need to go out of my way to make myself happy anymore. I just everybody just needs to calm down.
Now, older age is good to a point. Was talking to my father last time I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be there again tonight. But I was just there. I was just there, what, 2 weeks ago, three mm-hmm. weeks ago, it seems like.
Right.
And he said, you know something? 95 is no fun.
Yeah.
He said, there was a sense of humor to it because, you know, his back really bothers him, but his mind is still great and he gets around and he does a bunch of things.
He's a whip. I've seen it. This guy can sit there and articulate each and every thought. It just doesn't seem like the mind of a 95-year-old. You showed me a video for those that don't know. You showed me a video, and watching him, you know, talk and line things out and kind of issue his opinion in that living room talk show that you guys had. It was mostly him. It was his show, but it was really great. His mind has not. That's the mind of an engineer, right? His mind has not slowed down. It seems.
For those of you who haven't heard the story, I believe this was back in July when I was back there, and I walked in, and it was about 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah,
and I walked in, and he started talking. He just got on. He got on a topic of I think I had mentioned something about we were talking about working and you know how many jobs, because I think I'd asked him, how many jobs did you work at one time? I said, I thought you told me three, because I've said that on the radio. And he said, mm-hmm. I was working three jobs at one time when we first got married.
Mm-hmm.
And that started the conversation. And then he started saying, I worked here. And then after that, I worked. And so he started basically after World War II, when he got out of World War II, what his jobs were, and then got into the specifics of it. Now, my father worked on the Minuteman missile, one of the first intercontinental ballistic missiles.
Mm-hmm.
But he went through everything from every place that he worked. He was telling me the names of German scientists that he worked with and debates that they had. Mm-hmm. This is at 9 o'clock.
He
went, before he really took a breath, to 2211. Now, my father, I've seen, you know, get into a focus before. I'd never seen this.
Mm.
And so I wasn't going to tell him. I turned off the flash on my phone.
Mm.
And I just said, I've got to tape some of this. I just have to tape
some.
And I can't tell him I'm doing it because then he'll be.
Because you're not going to post it, but you showed me. But I mean, you know, it's not you're going to broadcast.
Right. I showed it to my sister, and I showed parts of it to him.
Yeah.
Just so, and I told him I did it afterwards.
Yeah.
It's not like I did it. You know, I did it behind his back initially, but I said, do you know how good your mind is for 95?
Hmm.
He went through everything, and he's going through engineering concepts and why this one particular, you know, rocket engine didn't work on this particular missile and the guidance missile on this one and General LeMay and how he wanted, General LeMay wanted this on the missiles and because we were dropping, this is before he worked on the intercontinental ballistic missiles and how they needed to make sure that the, you know, the nuclear warhead was going to fit on the and I forgot the missile that they used, whatever they used on the B-52s. Before we had the intercontinental ballistic missiles, we had B-52s up 24 hours a day with, you know, nuclear-tipped missiles on to, you know, ready to shoot at Russia. So he's going through that entire thing all the way up to modern day and everything that he did on every single job. And he really didn't pause. Mm. I think maybe once he said, oh, where was my mind here? I'm thinking, well, I did that the other day. You and I have something unique. We have the same mind blank at the same time. If you can't remember something, you'll say, well, I can't remember it. Can you? And I went, no.
Because if you throw it at me, oh, what's that guy's name? And then my mind's going,
and it,
what?
And it happened to us earlier this week. So, I mean, that happens to everybody, I think, where you just. Yeah. But he was in over a 90-minute, basically 100-minute monologue where he just kept going and going. And I'm thinking to myself, this is just and the first, like, 5 minutes, I'm like, oh, he's just going to keep going. Yeah. And then 20 minutes into it, I'm like, I need to start taping this. This is just amazing. So
yeah,
I'm very, very blessed. But after that, I said, I now know where I got it from. There is no doubt. But it would be great to be in college again. I mean, I would just love to be able to deal with what they do there. So we'll get to that story there about the Pennsylvania University to mandate pronoun usage. Where will COVID be this winter? Researchers predict a steady decline, which is logical.
If it is the Delta variant that is still dominant, then a much more contagious variant means it's going to move through the population faster. And that's, again, just very, I think, very simple logic. But let's hope that that's what plays out.
And we hate bringing race into COVID, but it's the left that did it.
Yeah,
and so we're simply responding to it. But Biden's approval numbers among unvaccinated blacks plummets after the vaccine mandate. And the only reason we bring it up is because it has been, you have had, you know, MSNBC and CNN and all the liberal political pundits and the Biden White House, what they're trying to make you believe that it's only Trump supporters, only conservatives and whites and Trump supporters that have rejected the vaccine. So everybody knows Eric and I are both vaccinated, but this is observing the misinformation that is given out there. That's why we gave some information yesterday about the lowest county that I, or the lowest zip code that I live in, when it comes to unvaccinated people. And we've said there's a variety of different reasons, but the mainstream media doesn't want you to know that. And so that's why we bring these things up. Devin Nunes believes that Durham is going after conspiracy. Lawmakers walked out of the White House meeting on Afghanistan, the infrastructure bill mess. I don't know if they're going to get anything.
I honestly don't think they're going to, because I think they're going to run into, every time they move down the road of trying to get that $3.5 trillion attached to it, they're going to meet resistance from their own, the Democrats, from their own party in the Senate. And we know that. And as long as Sinema and Manchin are holding out on that, they're not. I don't think they'll get anything done.
Well, you know, now they don't think they have the votes in the House for it.
You know, it's interesting because in the House, it's kind of a different mindset. They want everything, you know, the far left wants everything piled onto one. They want the Senate to go back and do something that they know the Senate's not going to do. And we mean their own party isn't going to get done. And then you have those that are those House members that are on the bubble in those purple districts that don't want to try something, you know, that's going to put them in peril for a reelection, which is less than 14 months away.
Yeah, and mentioning that is what is starting to spook the Democrats. Some of the polls that come out, you saw McAuliffe now in Virginia down 6 points.
Mm-hmm.
You see that Craig is beating Whitmer right now in the latest poll in Michigan. Are they looking at some of these poll numbers and they saying, my God, these things are just tanking across the board and I don't see them getting any better?
I don't see them getting better. I really don't, because the president is really, again, as any president is, He's the leader of his party. And everything they're throwing down, and by the way, they're standing behind him on things like mandates and spending and all of this. So whether it's a race for governor, a House race, or a Senate race, I think you're going to run into, I think the Democrats are going to run into some really, really strong headwinds in the House and Senate. Historically, they would anyway. But we haven't seen anything this bad from a first-term president. In my opinion, we haven't ever seen anything this bad from a first-term president.
No.
And so by the time he gets to his first midterm, it could be disastrous.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Curley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90 Red Eye, and yes, and also the border.
Oh man,
southern border. You just mentioned how NBC wrote that particular story about Maxine Waters.
Yeah, here's the tweet from NBC News. Just appeared on their Twitter a few minutes ago. They could have posted it earlier as well, but it's the first time I saw this tweet. Here's the tweet: Representative Waters. That would be Maxine Waters. Is unhappy with Biden administration's handling of Haitian migrants, quote, I'm pissed, end quote. They didn't write the Border Patrol's handling of Haitian migrants. NBC News wrote the Biden administration's handling of Haitian migrants. That's not a small thing.
No, and it's accurate.
It is accurate.
It is the Biden administration. Now, do I believe, based on the evidence, that they're attempting to throw individuals under the bus to deflect from them? Yes, but you and I questioned yesterday the fact, well, wait a minute, it's your Border Patrol.
Right. And what is the protocol? What are the orders given? If you've got evidence that they didn't follow the orders and they said that these agents that were involved in the incident that they're describing, which, by the way, the terminology on the incident has changed in the last 24 to 36 hours. Well, within 24 hours, it actually changed because it changed yesterday. It changed during the day on Wednesday. And on Tuesday, they were using different language. And so, all right, if you've got evidence they didn't follow protocol, but if that's the case, then show us that evidence that the agents didn't follow protocol, that they used something that they were not authorized to use when it came to a restraint. Let me see that.
Yeah, I haven't heard that what that evidence is as of this point. Even though I know that those agents are on desk duty.
Right. They have been.
And I think Greg Gutfeld went through the different terminology yesterday.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can find that audio cut because he went through and said it was this, then it went to this, then it went to that, then it went to this.
As it often does when it's a lie. And so, you know, that's NBC News. That is not, and focusing on Maxine Waters. That's a pretty big deal. Here's your forecast.
Potential severe weather today in the form of hail and high winds are associated with a frontal boundary moving into the East Coast and Northeast throughout the day. Rains continue this morning along the Atlantic seaboard from Georgia through the Carolinas up into Virginia, all the way into portions of western New York. That I-95 corridor from Washington, Philadelphia into New York City will see heavy amounts of rain today. Boston through New England by later tonight and into tomorrow. And as this front pushes through in the east, we're seeing much cooler air ushered in out of Canada. A high today of just 60 degrees for Columbus, Ohio. That system has a trailing low-pressure area that's still providing some showers for the Chicagoland area, northern Indiana, and Ohio into Detroit throughout the day. For the Deep South, the Plains States, and the West, things are cool and dry. A look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
1-866-90-RED-EYE. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Okay, I found that audio cut from Greg Gutfeld from Fox News. And I think it's, you know, very prolific and almost genius what he is saying here, because it mirrors what we said yesterday.
Yes.
No, it really doesn't.
That's the reason that we're going to play it for you. No, to demonstrate our brilliance.
No, he says it in a different way, but in all likelihood, a better way. But he was very succinct here in his explanation yesterday. Mm. Here we go.
The press and Jen Psaki is going after the Border Patrol for doing their job because Biden and the enabling media wouldn't do their job. This never would have happened if they actually had been kept up with our coverage at Fox of all this harrowing footage, nonstop footage. They had to wait for that one image, one singular image, as Chris Cuomo points out, so that they can manufacture a story out of one image. It's the consequences, though, of their own corruption. So what does that remind you of? It reminds you of the media and the Democrats ignoring the rampant, violent crime that started last summer all the way to the present time. All of our cities are degraded into dangerous, terrible. Stop it, Harald. Let me finish. I let you talk for God knows how long. So instead, they just totally ignore the fact that we have rampant crime wave. Crime is going up. Homicides are up. But if there's this one singular image, one issue, a police issue encounter that they can use, because in that way they can, again, blame law enforcement and then pretend that they actually care about something. Mm-hmm. By the way, the whip story, finally, I love it as it falls apart. The media changes the verbiage. So it went from whipping to wielding, mm-hmm, to whirling to twirling to swinging. What's next? Conducting?
No, I mean, that's the narrative often changes. The language in the narrative changes. And when it does, that's when you know it's falling apart. That's one indication. Also, when you know that it's false to begin with, which we said. But that narrative was a desperate attempt to try and take some blame away from Biden. And then all of a sudden, the liberal media is using the words Biden administration. We just told, mm-hmm, you about the NBC story and how they wrote it. And focused on Maxine Waters. And maybe her intention was to go after the Border Patrol agents. But at NBC News, the words they used, Biden administration.
We had said on yesterday's show, because it was pretty obvious, okay, we need to blame somebody. All right, let's go after the Border Patrol. You heard that Al Sharpton's heading down there.
Yeah,
because now they're going to make it. I saw this on social media yesterday. The systemic racism of the Border Patrol, and it's like, wow, okay, they're going down this. We've been down this before. Mm-hmm. Crime is out of control in the cities. Well, it's because of the systemic racism of police.
Right.
We threw out that lie. You know that we dealt with that last year at this time, and we dealt with the, you know, Black Lives Matter. We dealt with the lies of Black Lives Matter. We dealt with how corporations and sports leagues got involved and enabled that lie. Mm. And as you see now, except maybe for, you know, Minneapolis or whatever, not many cities are really talking about defunding the police,
right,
or changing,
right,
the police in any way. As we said, it wasn't going to happen. But that huge emotional wall was there that existed, that intimidated sports leagues, intimidated corporations to jump behind a huge lie, a huge racial lie that only existed in order to create racial division and racial hatred, mm-hmm, between people. And then we saw the Democrats jump on it. Biden tried to use it with the election law in Georgia and the election law in Texas by, you know, calling them Jim Crow laws, trying to somehow make an analogy that Jim Crow laws and the voting laws in Georgia and Texas are somehow similar, which, of course, again, is that lie to cause racial hatred. And so we've been here before, and so seeing them doing it with the Border Patrol. And the thing is, what they do is they put, because remember, the riots took place, the vast majority of the riots took place in all Democrat cities, led for a significant period of time by Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they were talking about the systemic racism in the police departments and the management and even the cities, they're all Democratic cities.
Yeah, right.
And so not surprised, but they put police departments, they put, as you see here with Biden, putting the Border Patrol in an impossible situation that they created.
Mm-hmm.
Biden created the crisis at the border. And then he tells the Border Patrol, you need to stop this and stop this now.
Yeah.
And so that's what they attempt to do. They're outmanned. They don't have enough personnel on the ground. You saw the state of Texas. You saw what we did.
Right. How many vehicles was that? Did you see? I don't. It was a lot. But we had state vehicles and that the governor of Texas sent down to the border basically to form a vehicle wall.
A vehicle wall, right. And so they put them in an impossible situation. And then when the reality of what you have to do to contain thousands of people crossing the border comes out, then they scream racism and that these people are out of control. Mm. And then they lie about it, the whips. Mm. By the way, you see the Drudge report still up there.
Yeah, right.
Drudge still has that headline up there.
Mm-hmm.
That the whipping. And I'm like, is this today? 3 days ago.
Right.
The headline. He still has it in one of the top headlines there.
Yeah.
That's the lazy.
It's the bait click approach.
Yeah.
You know, clickbait.
Tell a bait click.
Yeah.
I like that.
Bait and click.
So I'm not surprised that it's reprehensible that they do that. But one thing, if you see what's going on, and it was Eric and I, if you've listened to the show for any length of time, we've often said, okay, we're going to put on our political hats as if we're political consultants.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always offered our services to the Democrat and Republican Party. And Eric came out the other day and just said, you know something? If we decide to put on our political hat again, our political consultant hats. And Eric said, if I was a political consultant for the Democrats, I'd just say give up. There's nothing you can do. You can't reverse any of it. I have no advice. I have no advice for you. And one of the reasons is, as a political consultant, what I would have told them early on is you already tried to blame Trump and it didn't work.
Right, right.
And so once you blame Trump once, then you continually try to blame him. The polls show it didn't work on that.
No.
And so what, as you can see, it's the standard operating procedure of the Democrats is to create, of this administration, is to create a problem and then blame somebody else for it. My advice to them would have been, it didn't work with Trump. You're not going to be able to succeed and deflect blame to anybody else.
Nope.
Tried to blame Trump for Afghanistan, tried to blame Trump for the border. And I would have advised him as a political consultant, don't blame Trump for the Afghanistan because you didn't win on the border.
Right. Right.
And so you're not going to win it on Afghanistan. And they did. If you look at the poll, people don't blame Trump. They look and go, no, it's your fault. You're in charge. And you've been in charge. And by the way, you made these decisions here. These are your dates, withdrawal dates that you said. Trump had nothing to do with it.
Right.
And so if you can't win on Trump, I would have advised him, then you need to stop blaming people and you need to start changing your policy. The problem is they're not going to do that. Do you see him changing his policy on the border?
No. No, no.
So
the best
what
they
is
can
out?
Do is expedite all of those cases through, process
right.
them as quickly as possible. Which means what? anybody worried about COVID and believes that this president cares about COVID? That ended. That's over. That's eons ago because. The situation in Del Rio alone, and which is only part of the border crisis, but the situation in Del Rio alone should tell you they don't have the resources to do anything about enforcing the law, much less COVID.
Oh, a different topic here. By the way, we have a three-day weekend, so we may be jumping all over the place to get everything in.
We're trying to get,
this is the end of the week here, but I saw this yesterday. I went, oh, wow, we also said that. Remember when we said, you know, he's put this whole thing on vaccine mandates on OSHA. Is this going to take a while? Will this be out there and then it will be dropped? And I saw that the other just yesterday. I forgot who wrote it. It just popped into my head right now. Someone said, you notice we've heard nothing from OSHA? He put off this ruling and then there's nothing. I wonder if OSHA's looking at this saying, we really don't know how to do this, or it's just going to be delayed. And so the fact is he threw it out there. It didn't really stick with the American public. That we have some of the polling out there that shows that the biggest loss of support in the polling for Biden on the COVID vaccine mandate is with unvaccinated blacks. And so they see it's not working. They see that, this isn't the slam dunk we thought it was going to be.
Right.
We're cutting into our base right now. And OSHA going, well, how are we really going to implement this? And we asked the question when he put this in, is this something that's going to be out there? They're going to laud it for a couple of days. This is great. And then all of a sudden it will sort of disappear. And you notice in the last week you've really heard nothing about it, about OSHA and what they may do or what they may not do.
Well, there are a number of concerns, not just from, you know, politically from the rank and file, but from employers. And they're looking at it going, look, we've got great talent here, and they won't stay if you tell us we've got to mandate it. Now, again, employers are mandating on their own without some, are mandating on their own without the government telling them to do that. But others have decided not to go that route. And they're basically saying, we're having trouble getting people motivated to work anyway, to stay here and to work. We need to attract talent, not send them packing. And that creates a massive, massive labor problem. I wonder if OSHA's looking at this going, all right, we'll just take our time in crafting the language, but there's not much. Think about this. You've got to write the language, including the enforcement mechanism, which at some point has OSHA, has the government, getting into people's medical records. Because the first level of enforcement is the employer. Well, who's enforcing the employer? How do we know employers are doing their job? Well, you're going to have to see that, okay, what records do you have? Which means the government's going to have to ask for everybody's vaccine. At some level, they're going to have to go into an employer. They're going to have to audit employers and say, we need to see the vaccination records of all of these employees.
Which, of course, the Republicans will have a field day, the first company has to abide.
It's not going to get to that point for that reason. The court is going to crush this.
And the other thing is, too, looking at the seven-day averages, hospitalization, you see they've gone down.
Oh, yeah.
They're going down. Mm-hmm. Hospitalizations are going down.
Right.
And in the South, for example, you're seeing a consistent decrease as we expected. And if this, I don't know of any variant now that's out there that is supposedly more contagious. Delta variant, as we stated, and we'll get to this story. There's a couple of stories we need to get on COVID. But the one out there that researchers say they believe it's going to be a steady decline. They don't see, unless something came in that was a completely different variant that's not out there right now. It's not being reported out there. That is immune to the vaccines.
Right.
They see a steady decline all the way through the wintertime. They don't see it going up much in the winter. It may in certain states, but overall in the whole country, they see it going down. We'll get to that and more coming up. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. We got a ton of stories to get to following the top of the hour, the new Gallup poll that is out there. The specifics on the FDA and the Pfizer booster, right now it's 65 and older after 6 months, by the way. Now, the you know, what exactly are the specifics for the others, whether it's just whether you're immune compromised or whether you have underlying conditions, we don't know for the second part of it. They haven't been specific in it. Now, the FDA has approved it. The CDC still has to do it, and maybe then they will be more definitive on what the other reasons are that you can get the Pfizer booster.
Right, because it would be based on the cases in the study. And so, yes. You know, then, okay, then, again, do you just apply it across the board for immune-compromised individuals, which is what we have heard up until now, or do they get more specific, I guess, and we'll wait and see.
This hour's news is brought to you by Travel Centers of America, home of World Lens Coffee, the freshest roast on the road.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome. Good morning. Thank you for being here. RedEyeRadioShow.com is where we stream our show live. And since our show is our podcast and our podcast is our show, download our Red Eye Radio app and put it on your phone. And you can listen whenever you wish to. So there it is. The FDA approves Pfizer booster shots for senior citizens and high-risk patients. Now, the CDC still has to do it. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved Pfizer coronavirus booster shots on Wednesday for senior citizens and those at higher risk for having severe reaction to the virus. Don't know what that means at the moment. They have not defined that specifically.
Right. Yeah. It's because it's different than underlying conditions, which is much broader.
Right.
And so, again, that, you know, we'll, I guess, wait and see what they say. And also, what's the guidance of, okay, this person got a Moderna, but, you know, should they wait? Should they, or this person got a Johnson & Johnson? Everything that I've seen on those that are saying that believe at some point that we need a booster are saying, if you can hold out, wait until your particular vaccine comes around for the booster.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
and it's for 6 months, not eight months.
Right.
So,
and Pfizer, according to the data that we saw last, had the efficacy fall off in terms of getting COVID. We have to keep in mind that all of them are still performing at near 100% in terms of the most severe cases and death, and so preventing that. And so we'll see where the guidance comes out. I am interested to see what the reaction will be. I think it's going to be along the lines of kind of what we saw at the beginning, but really more so the seniors and those that are, if you're immune compromised, you're likely under doctor's care to the point that you're going to the doctor, I mean, on a regular basis. I don't mean every 6 months. You probably have a doctor's visit maybe once a month, if not more often. The point being is that I'm guessing those doctors would look at it based on the data that they get from this and be in constant contact with those patients. If it ends up being the case that it's about immune compromised, those that are have certain diseases, but also maybe getting a treatment, a cancer treatment or something like that, that is compromising their immune system. So I'm just guessing here that it is going to be more of a direct approach on that level. Otherwise, it's going to be the seniors that, you know, look at that and say, okay, I'm at risk and I'm in this group. So I'm interested to see even within that group what the level of, I guess, participation is going to be. I won't say compliance because it's not a mandate.
No, it's not. I mean, you have right now 93% of those over the age of 65 that have received the first shot, and close to 83% have received the second shot.
Right.
So, and that keeps going up. And I think roughly we're still around between 750,000 to 800,000 people every single day getting a shot, one of the shots. So there's also a downturn, as we have seen. I think it's 10%. In the week up to September 13th, basically a 10% drop, in the number of hospitalizations. And you see in the southern states, of course, it's reversing. I guess the question I would have, since I got Moderna supposedly produced roughly, you still had twice as many antibodies in Pfizer. But as I said, that's not the only thing that matters. It's the T cells and everything else that, you know, that it's got the your body is ready for it is what researchers have said. So it's not just the antibodies. But I wonder, Moderna probably in the next couple of weeks, because they've applied for it, the booster.
Right.
We should hear about that in the next couple of weeks. And will they say, well, that's every 8 months, or that it's different than Pfizer, or you may not need it for 10 months. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then the whole Johnson & Johnson seems to get lost all the time.
Well, they actually issued a statement, I think it was at the end of July, and they said, you know, right now we don't see much of a fall off. And so could it be that based on that, they cannot demonstrate the need for a booster? I don't know. I mean, same thing with Moderna. You're going to have to demonstrate the need in order to get the approval. You're going to have to clearly demonstrate that need.
And if you don't...
And the data with Pfizer was the one, again, that if we're talking about just contracting the virus, it was the fall off seemed to be earlier than the others based on that data. So I guess we'll see. And by then... You know, if they believe now, and some experts are saying that we could see a fall off even during the winter months, that we could reach a peak before then, and then during the winter we could see a fall off. And I guess it's assuming that there is no new variant that becomes dominant and is more dangerous. Then that could be something that has an impact on that approval for the other two.
This story out yesterday, The Blaze had it. A group of researchers that advises the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention predicted this week that the worst of the COVID-19 pandemic could be over. Mm. It's something that you and I have talked about. And when we talked about it, we're like, why aren't they talking about it? Because if everything is what they say it is with the Delta variant, it's going to move through much quicker. Now, Gottlieb talked about it and a few others did, but it seemed to be this incredible panic. Even until Biden announced that OSHA, the mandated vaccines at companies and like as if this thing isn't going away. And all of a sudden we find out that the advisors to the CDC say that the worst could be over, and said that a steady decline in confirmed coronavirus cases through March could very, very well be on the horizon. The pandemic, according to the researchers advising the CDC, appears to either have peaked or close to peaking, as they predict cases will fall this autumn and into the winter months. The Delta variant surge also appears to be peaking nationally, according to the group's predictions, and the country is reportedly not likely to see a significant winter surge. Well, that's because the Delta virus will have worked itself through the population, because it's much more contagious, as Gottlieb was saying, 6 weeks ago?
Right.
The Wednesday report from NPR noted for its latest update, which will be released Wednesday, the COVID-19 scenario modeling hub combined 9 different mathematical models from different research groups to get an outlook for the pandemic for the next 6 months. Justin Lesser of the University of North Carolina, who helps run the hub, told the news organization, "Any of us who have been following this closely, given what happened with Delta are going to be really cautious about too much optimism. But I do think that the trajectory towards improvement is there for most of the country. Researchers note that conditions would continue to deteriorate until the country officially turns a corner, whatever that means. I don't know what that even means. Note that conditions could continue to deteriorate. Well, they're saying they're not deteriorating. Because that's what you're seeing. You're seeing that in the southern states, so I don't get that point. You know what? Everybody's covering their posterior. But
yeah,
all you've got to do to cover that is say, unless another variant comes along that's more dangerous and more contagious,
right,
and does not react to the vaccines, then you cover yourself.
Yeah.
But if it's working itself through the population as we believe it is, everybody's covering their butt.
Yeah. Well, nobody wants to be the first to say, hey, we're going to get through this, and it, you know, there's good news. There's light at the end of the tunnel.
Deaths from COVID-19 would fall from about 1,500 a day now to fewer than 100 a day by March. NPR reported new infections, according to Lessler, would slowly but surely continue to drop from approximately 140,000 per day to approximately 9,000 a day by March. Such a scenario projects there will be no significant winter surge, though a moderate surge is possible in certain areas. Of course it would be. It could be.
Yeah, right.
That's a given. So there you go. Meanwhile, what's the other?
Well, there was a report that came out that since the governor of Oregon mandated masks outdoors, the number of cases has skyrocketed 73%.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Jim Garrity had that national report.
Right.
Yeah.
Good luck with the mandates. It's what we said, if it is a highly contagious variant, which has been the case from the beginning, nobody has changed that narrative. None of that data has changed at all. Then, of course, it's inevitable. Doesn't matter what you think you're going to do. You're just slowing down the inevitable at the very best. And even that, what I think it was Gottlieb that talked about it and said, yeah, no, the masks, I mean, in order for this to, you know, masks to be really effective, you know, you would have to have, I forget what he said, but it would have to be a, you know, a much stronger mask than what most people are wearing these days.
Right.
For this current variant, for the Delta variant, the dominant variant. And so, again, the point is that it's inevitable. It's going to move through the population because it is highly contagious. And again, that's you're just kind of waiting it out. You can put whatever mandate you want to in place, shelter in place if you want to, but it's inevitable that it's going to come to everyone's doorstep.
It's going to spread.
It just depends on, again, one person's immune system and the efficacy of the vaccine that they got, if they got one, and everything else. And also, I think maybe even their behavior, which goes to their immune system, you know, if they're a healthy person. But it's all of that is still part of the big wait and see on something that's highly contagious.
Well,
you're not going to be able to stop it.
You know, it's sort of like the old football equipment argument. Now that football equipment protects you so much, you are willing to use your body as a missile.
Right.
Because you're not going to get hurt, but you end up hurting somebody. If, you know, and it's the sociology of people. If everybody's wearing their masks, yet the masks are not nearly as effective for the Delta virus as it was for the Alpha virus.
Right.
Because it was spread through aerosol and not just droplets. And they said, you know, maybe less than 20% as effective for the Alpha in mitigation efforts. When the 6 foot, I saw it came up the other day. Where do we come up with the 6 foot spacing? Nobody really knows, seems to know where that is medically, where that even came from.
Right.
But the fact is, you're more likely to be closer together. If you're wearing a mask, you may feel like you can be closer together, but you're still spreading it because you're closer together in a home setting or wherever you are if you're wearing your mask.
Mm-hmm.
So you sit there and you say, okay, we've solved the problem, or you believe you've solved a problem by doing something Well, you've just created another problem because of human behavior.
Right, right.
Some polling on COVID may be surprising. Well, maybe to the liberal media it would be surprising. Mm. Not to us, it's not. Coming up, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on construction safety. Plan ahead. Most states impose heavier fines and penalties for speeding and other violations in work zones. Make sure that you're not endangering the lives of construction workers or other drivers. Checking your route before you begin driving for the day should be part of your daily routine. Most states offer a 511 service that'll let you know about construction zones, road closures, and detours. Planning ahead can help you avoid traffic jams caused by construction. Whenever possible, avoid construction zones completely by taking an alternate route. Even if the distance is longer, you may save travel time by avoiding construction zone backups. If taking another route isn't possible, try to plan your travel so that you aren't driving through construction zones during rush hour. If you must drive through a work zone during a busy time of day, give yourself plenty of time. You'll be a more relaxed and alert driver if you aren't feeling rushed. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This report is brought to you by National Truck Protection and Premium 2000 Plus, the number one selling aftermarket truck warranties in North America. Available at thousands of used truck dealers everywhere.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. All along through COVID and the whole vaccine debate, the left has tried to portray anybody who doesn't wish to get a vaccine as a Trump supporter, and even white, that it's white Trump supporters that don't wish to get it. And we've always fought back at that narrative and said that's ridiculous. As we've said, if you look at the numbers out there, when you have 93% of people over the age of 65 that have gotten their first shot, it shows that it crosses all demographics, the vast majority of Trump supporters and loyal Trump supporters over 65 years of age have gotten their first vaccine shot.
Right.
And so it's ridiculous. And we noted very early on when the vaccines came out, number one, who was sowing doubt about the vaccine? And it was Biden, it was Harris, and it was Cuomo, all Democrats. Democrats led there, and you and I paid attention to MSNBC, where they kept reminding that, you know, blacks, that they shouldn't trust it under Trump because of the Tuskegee experiment. Right, the Tuskegee experiment. Mm-hmm. And we just said that's reprehensible that they're doing it. Now polling has come out. President Biden's net approval rating among unvaccinated black voters has dropped a stunning 17 points since he announced plans to implement a federal vaccine mandate for companies with more than 100 people, according to a new Morning Consult poll. Biden's favor among black voters dropped substantially between the initial poll conducted between September 6th and the 8th, just before Biden's mandate announcement on September 9th, and a second poll taken between September 18th and September 20th to more than 1,000 black voters. It dropped 17 points among unvaccinated blacks.
And really, I think it's about the approach. First of all, the mandate, of course. But second of all, not just the mandate, but the way he handled it. You know, it was like, you know, you're a moron if you don't get. This is what the left is doing right now. It's about shaming the people who are not vaccinated. And we're going to call you out, you're morons. And Don Lemon's doing the same thing, thinking, you know, of course, they're going after the Trump supporters, the red state people. And in the announcement, Biden mentioned Republican governors. That was an effort to make people believe that it's just Trump supporters and the right that isn't getting vaxxed. Well, the fact of the matter is it's across the board in terms of how people vote. And now they're learning it because I think Nicki Minaj, Black Lives Matter in recent days, and other stories in the media have really brought this to the surface that, yeah, it's not just one particular political group or skin color. That's the obsession that the liberals have, of course, is with skin color. But the problem they have is when they come out and they issue a mandate in this arrogant, defiant way that Biden does everything, you're going to turn off some of your base that also choose not to get vaxxed. And here we are.
On the web at RedEyeRadioShow.com and on your radio nightly, Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE, if you would like to get into the show today. So, yeah, we wanted to bring you that polling that was done. Huge drop in the support of blacks for Biden following the vaccine mandate. Seriously, you and I would rather never talk about race in anything. We're not the right ones. We're not the ones who initiate that argument ever.
Right. Well, and
that comes
know,
from the left. We're simply responding to the accusations or the falsehoods that they put out there.
I had a conversation a few weeks ago with a liberal friend of mine, back and forth of, yeah, but look at all the, you know, rural towns, you know, that supported Trump and the rural areas that supported Trump, and look at their vaccination rate. Could that be because they don't have a neighbor for miles? Could that be because they don't feel the pressure? They don't live on top of each other like they do in the metro areas? Quite possibly.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but this idea, this falsehood that it's one group of people, it's Trump's fault, when I'm pretty sure every rally he's had recently, he's said, hey, go get the vaccine. Also, he was the president when the FDA fast-tracked the approval. Also, he got the vaccine. But they need to blame Trump. They need to blame Trump for, well, pretty much anything and everything, because they can't possibly take, you know, the honest approach and look at it and say, Biden doing this and the way that he did it right now is political death. Keep pushing for mandates. Because right now it is nothing but virtue signaling. Nothing but virtue signaling when it's done politically. We care more. You're a moron if you don't get it. That's their arrogant approach. And then saying that we're going to go after employers that don't force their employees. Well, okay. Let's take a look at that. Right now, there for a number of reasons, there is a labor shortage. And a lot of it has to do with handing out free money by the government. But a lot of it also has to do with people changing their views on what kind of work they want to do. And if they want to work in an office or work in a restaurant anymore or work in a hotel anymore, up close, you know, and in people's personal space, as they have to do in the service industry. And so the point is that finding people to work is a task before the mandate. You put in an OSHA mandate like this, if it were to take effect, which I don't believe it would, I think it's going to be blocked by the courts if they ever get to a final ruling. But you put one into effect and watch these employers scream, because they will have people that will choose not to be a part of that. Sorry, not going to do that. I'll go do something else.
And you had unions come out against the you know, even if they, the union said, look, we're on the side of we wish to that everybody get, our union members get the vaccines, but the majority of them came out against the vaccine mandate.
The mandate.
Said, well, no, you need to negotiate that with us. You just can't put a mandate forward. Well, why not if you're for it?
Right, right.
But because some of their members and some of their leadership were not for a vaccine mandate. When you had, and it was, we did it earlier this week, in case you're just tuning in, it was the biggest liberal circular firing squad update we've ever had.
Yeah, it really was.
And that was when Black Lives Matter came to the defense of the people in the restaurant who, I don't know exactly which ones, did not have their vaccine cards with them, and they were refused service. And then things got violent, and Black Lives Matter is supporting the people who apparently were black in the restaurant, even though they're the ones that were charged with going after that the server. They're defending them, Black Lives Matter, because the vaccine mandates are racist.
It was inevitable it would get to this point, because the narratives have been, in terms of the reasons for not getting the vaccine, the reasons have been all over the place. We brought to the audience yesterday, a local television station did a report on Tarrant County. And the zip code in Tarrant County, which is the west side of the DFW Metroplex where Fort Worth is.
Yes.
And you look at the demographics, and it is, the focus was they're setting up a campaign to push vaccinations in this one zip code. And that zip code was only 12% white. Overwhelming majority were minorities, are minorities. And local officials in the story from Fox 4 there in Dallas was that, you know, look, we're hearing all these reasons that it makes you this, it makes you that, and it causes this and causes that, and all of that is untrue, so we're working against misinformation. And we have said it's been a number of reasons. People say, well, I don't know what's in it, or I think it causes this, or my cousin's boyfriend's cousin had this. And all of this, you know, you're not going to be able to change in people's minds. And for varying reasons, and it comes down to their choice. They choose not to get the vaccine, and whether or not what they believe is true isn't the point. You're not going to dispel that in their mind. They've already taken that position. That is not going to change. So then you look at it, again, the mandate, and we haven't seen the full effect of the mandates yet. I don't believe the OSHA mandate is going to pan out. I think the court will crush it. But if it were to pan out, what would you have? Well, industry is going to say, you know, look, we've been working to build a diverse group of individuals in our workforce for many years, and we have a number of people of color that will not get the vaccine, and so we're forced to fire them? We're forced to do this because of the government? And you will have groups that will, like Black Lives Matter and other groups,
right,
that will say, this is racist policy. You're trying to drive minorities out of the workforce. And it's not going to end until they pull that mandate. The mandates go away, then the protests will go away. But the protests are going to be there as long as the mandates are rolling out. And even if it's private sector mandates, you're going to see the protests, I think, on a smaller scale. But the government mandate, of course, is the big hand, and that's what governs all businesses with 100 employees or more.
And as we see over the next couple of weeks, because we haven't heard from OSHA yet, as this goes on,
right,
And, you know, you have the researchers that advise the CDC, which are saying, look, it's going to continue to go down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to go down. It's not going to go up.
Right.
There may be some hot spots here and there, but just like Gottlieb had said, and we looked at this, I mean, just logically, you don't have to be a virologist to understand that if something is more contagious, it works itself through the population quicker. You see the increasing number of people that, you know, when you have 93% of people that are that have gotten the first shot, age 65, you've taken a significant portion of the possibility of serious hospitalization and death out of the entire equation. Mm-hmm. And so when you have a population in general, which legally over the age of 12, I think you're, what, it's 70%, over 70%, and then you have this virus that much more contagious, works itself through a population over a period of 4 or 5 months, well, then it has nowhere to go unless there's a new, more dangerous, dangerous and contagious virus, which does not, you know, react positively to the vaccines. That's the only way you're going to see an increase. Otherwise, naturally, you would see a decrease. Well, if they're rolling out these mandates and they continue to do that and it's in the public eye and the public sees, well, look, stadiums are open, masks are now off here, and you're still pushing the mandates, it's going to have a negative effect, like everything that the Biden administration has done almost. Almost everything that they have done has had a huge negative impact from the population. But seeing this one survey that says unvaccinated blacks, that's the biggest decrease, 17% loss of support in a matter of a couple of weeks to Biden, that's huge.
It is.
And that makes them rethink how I can guarantee it's making them rethink how hard should we push this. The numbers are going down. We're getting pushback from a major constituency that absolutely supports us. 90% of the vote guaranteed almost every time. Now Black Lives Matter is calling what we're doing basically racist. They're attacking us. We don't need this.
Yeah.
When will they come to that point? And I don't know. With Izzy Mandelbaum, I don't know.
No, I mean,
with
honestly,
Izzy Mandelbaum as our president,
right.
He'll just get stubborn. He's defiant
with everybody. He doesn't really care. He doesn't really care because how dare you question something he did? Think about it. It's an executive order.
It's funny because the left, one of their biggest criticism, Trump reacts as a child. Well, Izzy Mandelbaum, if you know the character from Seinfeld, I mean, he reacts as a child. Everything is
right.
An emotional response.
Right.
Where I'm going to do, if you tell me to do something, I'm going to do the opposite. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a failure. We're going to stick with this. I'm going to be stubborn and stick with this failure no matter what.
Right.
Which has been sort of a mainstay of Biden's first 8 months in office.
You know, we said earlier that
only 8 months. Right.
Wow. And we said earlier this week, and we mentioned it earlier in the show that, you know, if we were called to the White House to be political consultants, we wouldn't have any advice. Actually, I would. And it would be for his advisors. Don't try and control him. Remember the whole thing? Let Trump be Trump. Let Joe be Joe.
Let Joe be Joe.
Let America see who the president is all the time.
Yes. I agree. Let Joe be Joe.
And I would say to Biden, Mr. President, you're capable of answering any question that's thrown at you, aren't you? Well, of course I am.
Remember, Eric Harley,
get out there.
Eric Harley came up with this on this date.
Mm-hmm.
Let Joe be Joe.
Let Joe be Joe. Get out there and do your thing, Mr. President. Go out there and talk to the media. Don't let these people control you.
Don't let them. Tell your stories.
Tell your stories. All of them. Don't tell the leg hair story again, but the other ones. Tell those.
I want more corn pop.
That's right. Tell them, show them who you are, Joe.
Right.
You didn't get here just by, you know, someone or a group of someone's hiding you in a basement.
Don't listen to those young whippersnappers.
Those young whippersnappers, they can't even do one push-up.
Right.
You can do multiple push-ups. We all know it.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll-free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Coming up following the top of the hour, a poll that was done of college students. Do you know the majority of college students in this poll, the majority, believe that it's okay to shout down speakers?
Yeah, they're children.
And a plurality believe that violence is even acceptable.
Yeah, they're children. Kick and scream until you cause the anyone that you disagree with to shut up and go away. This is what children do.
I don't think I have ever. I think of when I went to college, and it was fun times back then.
Mm-hmm.
Where we had in the student union Lyndon LaRouche's Labor Party. That would be in the student union each and every day, and we had fun taunting them on a consistent basis.
Right.
But we never wanted to shut. I don't ever remember in my entire life, and especially in college, ever thinking that we should shut somebody up from speaking. And the crazier they were, the more we wanted them to speak.
Oh, yeah, keep talking. Let Joe be Joe.
By the way, I may not get over that. We're going to go with that for a while. Let Joe be Joe. Let
Trump be
Trump. Let Joe be Joe. I like that.
Let him talk. Quit trying to control him. He's perfectly capable of talking.
Yes. That's our...
Yep.
We have suggested it first here. This came from Red Eye Radio. Let Joe be Joe.
Let Joe be Joe.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show from the Pilot Flying J Studios. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning.
Hello.
We just got a ton of different stories out there. Let's just go down one by one.
All right.
Senator Joe Manchin, this is from thehill.com, said Biden urged a group of moderate lawmakers to come up with a top-line number that they could support for Democrats' sweeping reconciliation bill. Now, the squad and Bernie Sanders are saying that they don't want to compromise at all. And you can't lose the squad and Bernie Sanders and get it through the House. Bernie Sanders said, what do you mean go down from 3.5 million? We've come down from, 3.5 million. How dare you say we come down from 3.5 trillion? We've already come down from 6 trillion. He actually said that.
Yeah.
We've come down from $6 trillion. We've compromised. Manchin, a key vote in the Senate, was part of a group of House and Senate moderates.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right, moderates.
Moderates.
Who met with Biden on Wednesday afternoon as Democrats try to figure out a way to bridge their divides over the $3.5 trillion package. Quote, he just basically said, find a number you're comfortable with, Manchin said, adding that Biden's message was to please just work on it. Give me a number.
Come on, give me something.
Why don't you?
Right.
Why don't you say, look, how about two? Why don't you come up with the number? Manchin told reporters that he didn't give Biden a number he could get behind and that Biden didn't give him a hard deadline for when moderates needed to turn over that number.
Yeah.
The quicker the better, but I'm sure... If they're going, but I'm not sure if they're going to get there, Manchin told reporters, adding that they could get a reconciliation bill eventually. Well,
eventually.
I think a good reconciliation bill could be done whenever. Well, that's
okay.
That gives us a timeline.
Whenever.
Senator John Tester from Montana, who also attended the meeting with Biden, said moderates and progressives are going to try to work out a framework potentially by as soon as next week. So now we're back to a framework.
Yeah. Framework. Wow.
What you've got now is especially the last couple of weeks, I really think that the Democrats are really worried about inflation right now. I really do.
I think so.
I think you've got in these moderate districts, you know, with the Fed talking about, you know, okay, we're going to stop this easing that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to stop throwing cash into this, and which means interest rates are going to go up. They're talking about interest rates going up, what, like in the next year? Well, in the next year puts us right before election time.
Yeah.
And I really think, I don't think it's the spending. I think it's the fear of inflation. I think it's the fear of inflation with the fact that they understand that the labor market may not kick back, which is going to hurt GDP, that the Delta wave, I saw again that, you know, the supply line with chips still aren't there, that cars will be more expensive, that everything is more expensive right now, and food is more expensive. The things that affect people the most, food and gas, and then if it starts going up, more inflation starts going up, and you start getting car loans have been basically cheap because why? They've got to charge any interest on it.
Mm-hmm.
What happens to the car industry if we're back up to 3-7% kind of interest rates to buy a vehicle?
They'll take it to 149 months on the term. Hey, where do you want your payments?
You know, I had some work done on the old vehicle.
Yeah.
And this is my old vehicle that is a 2003 with 230,000 miles on.
Right.
Turned 18 years old this past July.
Right.
And the best decision I ever made 4 years ago when I got my new vehicle was to keep it.
Right. Right.
Because I'm an old guy now, insurance is nothing. I mean, it's just nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
You know, great
yeah.
coverage for nothing.
And, I got a brand new vehicle. I was shocked at how cheap my insurance was.
Well,
because I haven't bought. It's only my second brand new vehicle ever. So, I mean, I just didn't. I thought it was just going to skyrocket. But
I changed,
I'm an old guy with a good
credit rating.
Record.
Well, funny,
credit rating and driving record.
So, I dropped the insurance company I was with for over. I'm trying to think of how old I am. 45 mm-hmm. years.
Yeah.
I was with one insurance company since I was 16. Hmm. Last year, I dropped them and combined my homeowners with my car insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And it dropped right when I turned 65, right after I turned. I couldn't believe how much my car insurance dropped.
Hmm.
And I had asked them, I said, why? And they said, your age and your credit rating. I'm like, you check the credit rating? They go, absolutely. Remember when the left was on the fact that credit ratings should not be, you know, you should not, judge a person by their credit rating?
Right.
You know,
right.
Every single person I've talked to in industry that uses the credit rating to analyze you
mm-hmm.
have told me it's the most accurate way to judge what a person is about.
Right. It is. It really is the basis of responsibility in terms of
yep.
Whatever debt you may have. And the covenants on those debts.
I'm not going to argue with people. I'm just telling you what people that are in the business tell me. They go, no, it's like, you know, if you're an insurance company and you're looking at your credit rating, there's a reason they do it because the stats show that you're more responsible. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. Everything is based on numbers
for insurance companies. It's also more expensive for males and insurance until you hit a certain age, right?
Yeah.
And if you're married, your rate changes, and it has to do with stats. You know, so mm-hmm. as you get older, and of course you demonstrate that you have a good driving behavior as part of your daily routine, then that pays off eventually. So, you know, it's they've got it down to a fine art. Even with home insurance. You know, it used to be the day that you could go back and you know, call your insurance company. Hey, I think I may have some hail damage. Now they show up with a tablet. We show hail hitting two and a half blocks down.
I know.
And it showed to be hitting actually on these properties here, because they have to get that data in order to protect, I guess, themselves. If you look at the profit margin in insurance hasn't been the greatest. It's fairly steady, but they have to, of course, protect from people claiming that they have damage from a hailstorm, but they never had a hailstorm. You know, I called my insurance company because my roof a few years ago, my roof was over 20 years old, and I was like, okay, I got to replace it one way or the other. So I called the insurance company and told them that. I said, I don't know if I have a claim. You're going to have to tell me if you see any damage here from over the years. I know we've had hail, but I don't remember a massive hailstorm doing damage to anything else on my property, you know, cars or anything else. So they said, no problem. They showed up. They said, yeah, we don't show any history of this particular location. And we're gonna do the inspection anyway. We're going to get on the roof. We're going to look at your storage building. We're going to look at all of these things. And they came back and said, yeah, you don't have any damage.
I don't
have any damage.
Well, I've
had quarter-size hail since I've lived in this house, which is going on 18 years. And that's the one time I remember having hail. It could have happened while I was out of town traveling for work, but that's the one time I remember. And it was quarter-size hail, and it was short-lived, I want to say, about 15 minutes in all. And it wasn't the worst hail I've seen. I've been through hailstorms that are really, really bad. And I ended up paying, you know, for my roof out of my pocket because I needed a roof, you know. It was old. So I replaced the whole thing down to the rafters.
Yeah, I got with me, it was my neighbor. My neighbor was getting his roof repaired, and I went and I said, you're getting it done? I said, hail damage? He said, yeah. He said, we had a big hailstorm, and I went, I don't remember that. I go, when was this? He goes, I think it was this date. It's like, I was out of town. I didn't remember it. I go, really? There was normally in my house when I'm gone, if nobody's babysitting it, I can tell if there's hail. I can hear it because my cameras go off.
Oh, yeah.
The sound detectors go off on my cameras, and I get the notification on my phone, and that didn't happen.
Right.
And so I had the guy from that, and you know, the roofing place, and I checked him out and everything else. They're very reputable. And I said, okay, check mine. He goes, oh, yeah, you got hail damage. So I called my insurance company. And I said, yeah, I've got hail damage. I go, hang on. Yeah, the 18th? They knew. They knew from my blog.
Oh, yeah. No, they
And it
they
was
know.
Like, it was like, whoa. Yeah.
They have very specific data.
And so they came out. I mean, it was came out with the tablet, you know, the adjuster, and then the person to actually go up on the roof went up with the roofing company guy, came back down. Yeah, okay, here's what it is. But okay, here's what your portion would be. Okay, there it is. Okay, fine. It took less than 10 minutes. I'm like, oh, okay.
Once they know that it hit, then it's just about, it's a matter of, okay, what needs to be replaced? Shingles only? Was there other damage? And was there other damage? You can have, like during a lightning storm, you can have, and I had this before, damage to an outside air conditioning unit. And something I had not known until my insurance company, this is years ago, told me. I said, no, it appears that lightning caused this. I was like, okay.
But yes, yeah, so we got on there with inflation and everything else and you know, talking about what's, but I really think that the Democrats, you've got these districts out there that are like, they're scared to death. And right now you've got the squad and Bernie saying, nope. Either all of it goes through or none of it goes through.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
Right.
The squad and Bernie. And that's enough votes right there. Those four votes, or I think there's a new member of the squad, so it'd be five votes right there is enough. to destroy it. And they the squad was on TV the last couple of days stating, no, we get everything or nothing. And so you've got a ton of these people in the House, even not a ton, but you probably got 10 House members saying, we can't go for this. It's impossible. We can't do this. We just can't. We won't win a lot. The squad is saying we can do it, and it doesn't matter. We're going to get elected no matter what.
Right. Yeah.
Our districts are so safe, we can push for insanity.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're going to do. And if we don't get it, if we get it, great, we'll get reelected. If we don't get it, great, we get reelected.
Right.
Our districts are safe. And you've got a ton of these other House members, or a ton, probably 10 to 20, somewhere in that, saying, we're not safe. We can't do this.
Right.
And so they may also be fine with saying, oh, forget about it. You get nothing.
Yep.
We'd rather do nothing because the squad is betting on the fact that these House members will say, okay, we just can't get nothing here. And now some of these, their so-called moderate, what do we call them again? Less than far left?
Less than far left.
The less than far left, because they're not moderate. The less than far left members are saying, well, wait a minute, maybe we can go for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can't go for this, and we're being told you were to take the total of, what would it be, $5 trillion? Whatever because it would be roughly $600 billion in new spending, and then the 3.5, so over 4. It's either $4 trillion or nothing. Okay, we'd rather go for nothing.
Right.
We're safer in our districts if we go for nothing.
Right.
And so that's what they're throwing back at the squad and Bernie Sanders. Well, you're saying that, well, if we lose, we'll get reelected. And if we win, we get reelected. Well, if we do what you want to do, we won't get reelected. And if we say nothing, we will get reelected.
Right.
So we're fine with nothing.
Right. We're okay with that.
So Biden's in there telling Manchin and everybody else, just come up with the numbers if that number is going to change anything.
It's not.
And I saw one prediction. I think it was Byron York, who said he believes they'll pass something, but it'll be way, way less. And it's like the squad doesn't care because they'll get reelected no matter what. If they eventually have to go for a much smaller number, like a trillion or something like that, they're like, we're still going to get reelected no matter what. So, but we're going to push for this, make them compromise. But then the squad is saying, you know, because what they're saying is, well, they'll eventually come around. The squad is saying they won't. But even if they do, even if it's a bluff here, they're still going to be reelected no matter what.
Right. So you know, it that's it. And so if they do nothing, the ones in the moderate districts, less than far left, if nothing is done, they're not going to be hurt. If they get the $3.5 trillion done plus, you know, the $600 billion, $4.1 trillion, that's going to hurt.
866-90 Red Eye.
This is the Marketplace Minute. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. Stocks rallied Wednesday. All three major indexes, the Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ, jumped about 1%. The Federal Reserve signaled it will be winding down easy money policies that have supported the economy during the pandemic. The central bank will likely begin tapering off bond buying later this year and raise interest rates next year if the recovery stays on track. President Biden met with congressional Democrats Wednesday to shore up support for a pair of spending bills key to his agenda. The $1 trillion infrastructure bill faces hurdles in the House from progressives who want it tied to a $3.5 trillion social safety net package, which faces opposition in the Senate. And shares in FedEx fell more than 9% as the shipper reported labor shortages that are raising costs and creating bottlenecks as it heads into the busy holiday season. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino with the Marketplace Minute.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. So when you look at this process with the Democrats right now on the infrastructure bill and the reconciliation bill, and you can actually look back a month ago or 2 months ago and say, are they any closer?
Mm. Right.
And they're not. They're not any closer. You've got now these ultimatums being thrown out there, but even CNN was asking the squad yesterday, saying, wait a minute. I mean, it's this or nothing? Yep, that's
it. Yep. And, again, you're not going to get those Democrats that are in those purple districts to act on this. It's not going to happen.
I really think what's changed this all is there's an absolute two things. Number one, they realize that Biden is taking them down on everything.
Yeah, right.
If you see it, you know, for the polling on Virginia, the polling in Michigan right now, and they're for the governorship, and I think they're worried.
Here's your forecast.
Potential severe weather today in the form of hail and high winds are associated with a frontal boundary moving into the East Coast and Northeast throughout the day. Rains continue this morning along the Atlantic seaboard from Georgia through the Carolinas up into Virginia, all the way into portions of western New York. That I-95 corridor from Washington, Philadelphia into New York City will see heavy amounts of rain today. Boston through New England by later tonight and into tomorrow. And as this front pushes through in the east, we're seeing much cooler air ushered in out of Canada. A high today of just 60 degrees for Columbus, Ohio. That system has a trailing low-pressure area that's still providing some showers for the Chicagoland area, northern Indiana, and Ohio into Detroit throughout the day. For the Deep South, the Plains States, and the West, things are cool and dry. A look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Your forecast is brought to you by Low Viscosity Kendall Super DFE. With increased protection and fuel savings, low viscosity leads to victory. Kendall Motor Oil, you get out what you put in.
This is Reality. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
I'm Gary McNamara. He's Eric Harley.
Drivers, we want to say thank you. Our truckers mean so much to the economy. They are everything, the backbone of the economy. If trucking stops, well, the economy stops. And if you bought it, a trucker brought it. And that's why we have been saying in recent weeks, thank you to a number of drivers throughout not just August, but Truck Driver Appreciation Month, which is here in a few days, coming to a close. We just want to say thank you, drivers, for being out there. The long hours on the road, a lot of people don't know, but it's a 14-hour workday. You live on the road quite often for weeks at a time, and it's not an easy job. I'll tell you, I've been driving my car around a lot more, my new car, in traffic. On the weekend, and I try and put myself in the position of a truck driver. First of all, you wouldn't want me behind the wheel of a truck ever. But I dealing with other drivers on the road, I just can't imagine that because they're quite often not looking out for that big rig that's alongside them or in front of them or behind them. And it becomes a very, very tedious job. Being behind the wheel, and of course, delivering all the goods that we need and want, not just during a pandemic, but at any time. And we want to say hello to Tony. He drives for Frock Brothers Trucking. He's been trucking for 38 years, a very, very long time. And also Don. He drives for Atlantic Bulk Carriers. He's been driving for 40 years. So thank you, Tony and Don, for being out there. This wouldn't be possible without our sponsors, Shell Rotella, Denny's, Pilot Flying J, Mercer Transportation, Motel 6, Progressive Insurance, House Products, and the St. Christopher Truckers Relief Fund. Thank you, drivers.
Thank you so much. As we were talking about Joe Manchin going out and saying that Biden told the members of Congress that are not as far left.
Less than far left.
Tell us what your price tag is for reconciliation here.
Right.
There's the things that they're scared of, and these are all These are all recent happenings. First off, the polling numbers of the president, which are in the toilet.
Yeah, right.
They're absolutely in the toilet right now. I mean, it's just, and there is no hope of getting any better. I think that the president not answering any questions. When you are the president of the United States, you're the leader of your party.
Yeah.
When you have the House, when you have the Senate, there's an expectation from Democrats that you need to be a leader. He's not a leader. Mm-hmm. Not a leader. Just not. He has always, as a senator, just where's the breeze blowing? There's where I will go.
Right.
He doesn't really want to make a decision now. As you and I talked about before, why is he asking? Just throw me a figure. All you think about this, you're trying to come to some type of negotiation. And so you bring in a bunch of people and you say, all of you throw me a number. Well, that's not trying to solve the problem.
Right.
That's simply stalling because that's what you do when you're not a leader. You stall. Mm-hmm. When you're not a leader, you walk away and don't answer questions. Those questions will eventually be answered, but you're stalling because you're not a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And so there, I believe that what you're seeing in the last couple of weeks with this president, especially since Afghanistan and now the border again, and then the drone missile strike that killed the children, that they look at this and say, my God, we're screwed over. And so all of a sudden you've got a significant number of members of Congress that are Democrats and less than insane radical left. And they're saying, whoa, we need to put the brakes on this. And not only are they looking at the president, they're looking at inflation, but also the Fed coming out yesterday. And they downgraded their expectations for the economy, lowering their forecast for growth, and raising forecasts for unemployment and inflation. That was at the conclusion of the Fed's two-day monetary policy meeting. The new projection show that medium expectation is for the economy to grow at an inflation-adjusted 5.9% this year, down from the expectation for 7% growth at the June meeting. Now, remember, this type of growth is because we're coming out of COVID.
Right.
And states are still opening up. Consistent with their view of slower growth, that officials also see unemployment higher than they did earlier this year. The median forecast for unemployment rate at the end of the year is 4.8% compared to 4.5% in June. So everything is going in the opposite direction. And so they're sitting there looking at this saying, that's the projection now. But that is the projection, from what I know, that is not based on the fact that they're going to add another $4.5 trillion to the debt.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think that what you have with Democrats right now is they're scared to death about where this is going. They have no leader. This is a guy, their president, who creates problems, not just problems that are not in the best interest of the United States, but they're not in the best interest for the Democrat Party. They look at and say, these aren't in the best interest of us. Having the scenario of what's going on down on the border, under that bridge. And I bet you got some Democrats going, rolling their eyes going, oh, my God, now they're blaming the border, a couple of people with the Border Patrol.
Right.
They keep deflecting. They take no responsibility for everything. Everything is somebody else's fault, won't take any questions. And the American people aren't stupid. The American people know, say what you will about Trump, but Trump believed in the things that he was promoting. That's why he went out and talked about it and would argue with anybody about it.
And take a question from a reporter at any time.
At any time. But when you run from the press, when you embarrass yourself on the international stage, as he did on Tuesday, by not taking any questions at all, when Boris Johnson did, everybody now in the media, everybody knows this guy is fatally flawed as a president. They all know it.
Yeah.
And so there is no confidence. And so, yeah, you got the squad. You got Bernie Sanders going, look, let's go for it all because we're screwed. Everybody, the Democrats are basically right now saying we're screwed. We need to figure out how to do something from the standpoint that we're screwed.
Well, they need, I think they see, too, the erosion in the support for the president. It's is quickly fading, so grab all you can while you can.
And then you see the likely voter poll out of Virginia for the governorship, McAuliffe, when you do likely voters and not registered voters, down by a couple of points. You see Craig up on Whitmer in Michigan by what, 6?
Yeah,
in that particular poll, and people start looking at this and going, "Oh my God!" You see the post-vaccination mandate, mm-hmm. the huge drop in black support for the president after the vaccine mandate. There isn't any think, if you're acting as a political consultant, as we have talked about many times before, and as you said last week, I would have nowhere to go. Now you're suggesting that they just let Joe be Joe.
Just right.
Forget about what the young whippersnappers say. Just go out and just ramble on for hours. It can't be any worse than what you're doing now.
Right.
At least you could build up some sympathy.
Well, I mean, I think that's the way the far left sees it. That it's quickly fading and it's probably going to get worse, but we might as well go for everything we can get right now because, you know, there's no damage we're going to feel. Bernie, AOC, the squad, they're not going to feel damage in their states or districts. The other Democrats in the House absolutely will.
Yep.
But they see this president as, and that this is why it was very clear from day one with all the executive orders that he put through that they were pushing him to get the agenda done. Get the far left agenda done. Move on it, move on it, move on it. Well, this is a pretty big deal that they can't get infrastructure done. They can't get this $3.5 trillion done. But there's a reason behind it, a very fundamental reason. It's a good reason. Because the people representing the individual, the rank and file Americans who are against this kind of spending know it. They cannot go against what their constituents feel. And that's a good thing. But the left wanted him to be able to carry out this agenda. He's destroyed all that. I think they're angry. I think the far left is angry at Joe Biden because he can't get it done with any level of sophistication, and they were hoping he could.
Then, in addition to everything that we've mentioned, you have the story that we brought you yesterday that really had some legs also during the news cycle yesterday, and that's the Democrats in Florida, where they look at that, and the Democrats have said by the end of the year, there's going to be more Republicans. The first time in modern history, more Republicans registered in the state of Florida than Democrats. That's extremely worrisome, not just for 2022, but specifically 2024.
Right.
If they believe, this means we lose Florida, you know, no matter what, especially if we have more registered Republicans in there. It's not just one thing with Biden in office. It's everything that he is causing and the ripple effect.
Yeah,
the trickle down effect that he is having across the fear of the trickle down effect that he's going to have, which is really worrying Democrats. And then you have this. I mean, you think about this miscalculation yesterday or 2 days ago when the Democrats came out and in their budget, it would have never got through the Senate, but in their budget, they took away the $1 billion for Israel's Iron Dome. And that was the squad that did that. That was the anti-Semites and the Democratic Party that didn't want it in. And a day later, they reintroduce it back in again.
Right.
Think about that. Think about the panic. And the reason for the panic is because if you're somebody who's, even if you're, I'm not going to try to read the minds of the anti-Semites of the members of the squad that are anti-Semitic to begin with. I won't try to read their minds. But the fact is, if they were pushing not to have the Iron Dome, then what you are asking for is a much greater chance of war.
Yeah.
Because if that Iron Dome doesn't work over Israel and they don't have the ability to shoot down a ton of different missiles. Well, then they go on the attack, and Israel will do preemptive attacks. Not like the United States. They will do preemptive attacks like we would never consider doing, and that makes the possibility of war even greater. And I guess clearer minds in the Democratic Party came out and said, okay, we need to put that back in. We don't need to be blamed for the possibility of increasing the acceleration of war in the Middle East.
Right.
So, but think about that political change from that actually got through the House the day before, and the next day it's reintroduced. No, we need to have the Iron Dome without even a whimper of, well, wait a minute, what just happened the day before? Almost as if, oh, okay, a side note, it was out yesterday, it's back in today.
Well, and I think, too, in the wake of Afghanistan and creating a terrorism superstate, that really is what Afghanistan has become and will continue to be. In that region, do you want an all-out war? Israel has to protect Israel. If the U.S. doesn't want to support Israel officially, they're going to have to take measures to protect themselves. That means war. And the left doesn't want that. They certainly don't want the conversation about that in the wake of what happened in Afghanistan.
866-90 Red Eye.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Coming up on the top of the hour, you have a new group of GOP lawmakers filing articles of impeachment against Biden. I mean, that happened all the time during the Trump presidency. It's not going to go anywhere, but it's to always keep that in the public's eye. They keep that news item in there, but we'll get to that. Plus, this poll that was out there, and it's just like you shake your head. Maybe one of the reasons why we say we're doomed. Support for shouting down speakers on campus spikes. The majority of college students believe that it's okay to be shouting down speakers.
Yeah, right.
Wait till you see how many people believe that violence is okay.
Yeah, sure.
On our college campuses right. Today. We'll get to that. Plus, at Pennsylvania University, tell students that actions could be taken if they use the wrong pronouns. Oh, man, I wish I was in college. I'd be the first to break that just so I could file a free speech lawsuit and walk away with tons of money.
You know that's going to happen.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.